Blog Talk Radio.
Coming back to where we started.
I first felt your love. You're all that matters, Jesus. You're all that matters. Coming back to what really matters. Just your heart. Just wanna bless your heart, Jesus. I'm caught up in your presence. Wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. And oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, oh, I just want you.
I was there the moment that it happened, but you couldn't see me through the pain. I caught every tear as they were falling when you lost your heart that day. Yeah, you lost your heart that day. Now you only see through broken lenses, trying to keep your head above the shame. You believe the lie that I am distant, but I hold you every day. Yeah, I hold you every day. If you could see it through my eyes, you know that you are one.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prolific Fire. Thank you for joining me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord would be a blessing unto you on tonight. The first song I played was Nothing Else by Cody Carnes. The second song was Wanted by Danny Gokey. Danny Gokey's song is what inspired tonight's message. So listen carefully. Once again, thank you, everybody, whether you're listening online, on the phone line, on iTunes, on the podcast. Thank you so much. Let's begin. Father God, in the name of Jesus, tonight I pray, Lord God, that you give me the strength, Lord God, to minister this word the way that you gave it to me, God. Sit me down, Lord God, and use me mightily on tonight, Lord God, to help your people, that your name may get the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 from the NIV. That's Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 from the NIV. The birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." To Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Growing up knowing this, Moses could have easily been tormented with a zillion questions of why me? Why did my mother keep me? How could she hold me close to her breast and then just give me away? How could she be so cruel as to push me away? How could she be so cruel as to take me to Pharaoh's daughter? How could she be so cruel as to personally escort me there? Just hand me over and walk away, paid for her services. Why did she choose to keep my sister and not me? What is it about me? Why are people always leaving me? Why didn't she want me? Why did she want me? In Isaiah 49, verses 15 through 16 from the CEV, the Lord answered, "Could a mother forget a child who nurses at her breast? Could she fail to love an infant who came from her own body? Even if a mother could forget, I would never forget you. A picture of your city is drawn on my hand. You are always in my thoughts." Moses could have easily felt rejected. He could have very easily felt abandoned. The Bible doesn't talk about his emotional state one way or the other. The Bible doesn't talk about his emotional state one way or the other. But Moses could have easily felt rejected. He could have easily felt abandoned. But I know for sure, somebody listening in under the sound of my voice, that's exactly how you feel. You feel rejected. You feel abandoned. You feel unloved and unwanted. Somebody listening in, that's exactly how you feel. You feel rejected. You feel abandoned. You feel unloved and unwanted. Even if your mother was capable of forgetting you, the child she carried in her body and breastfed, even if she was capable of that, God says, I will never forget you. You are always in my thoughts. Even if your mother was capable of that, God says, I will never forget you. You are always in my thoughts. It's God's truth you need to hold on to. Hear me. It's God's truth that you need to hold on to, not the truth of what was done to you. It's God's truth that you need to hold on to, not the truth of what was done to you. Somebody, you have been tormented ever since you found out you were adopted. You have been tormented ever since you found out you were adopted. The questions your mind keeps asking are relentless and redundant. Somebody, you somehow blame yourself for not being good enough. Somebody, you somehow blame yourself for not being good enough. You blame yourself for not being what they wanted. You've taken all the responsibility for a choice that was never yours to make. You've taken all the responsibility for a choice. Hear me. You've taken all the responsibility for a choice that was never yours to make, but theirs. You've taken it all on yourself because you don't understand. You don't understand. How? Why? Why could only one of us be killed and one of us had to be pushed away? Had Moses felt this way and his mother was put on the spot as to why she kept his sister and not him. Had Moses felt this way and his mother been put on the spot as to why she kept his sister and not him, even though she had a good reason for what she did, I don't think she would have been able to explain things good enough for Moses to get him to understand that she had no other choice. Just like you, if you were faced with your birth mother, I don't think she would be able to explain things good enough for you to get you to understand. All you know is you feel like you feel. Somebody, all you know is that you feel like you feel, and the facts are the facts. Despite the facts being the facts, despite the fact is that it happened, despite all of that, all you feel is so unwanted. Despite what happened and you feel like you feel, the bottom line is you feel unwanted. But I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you are wanted. Tonight to tell somebody, you are wanted. You are wanted. You are wanted. Tonight's message. Though they gave you away, they pushed you away, they divided up the family, keeping one or some of you, while others of you ended up in foster care, being raised by the system until you turn 18, in somebody else's home, etc. Maybe you were not wanted by the ones that should have wanted you. But you are wanted by God. God wants you. Maybe you were not wanted by the ones that should have wanted you, but you are wanted. God wants you. You're on this earth because God wants you. You're on this earth because God wants you, not because of what a man and a woman did to conceive you. Listen carefully to the words of Ezekiel, Chapter 16, verses 4 through 8, NIV. And I can't tell you how many times these particular scriptures have ministered to me. So listen carefully to Ezekiel 16, verses 4 through 8 from the NIV. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in clothes. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field. For on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood. This is God talking. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your own blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. I said to you, live. I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew and developed and entered puberty. Your breast had formed and your hair had grown. Yet you were stark naked. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine, and you became mine. In other words, it was hard from the very beginning. No one was there to do right by you, to provide for you, to give you the things you needed. No one took pity on you or showed you any compassion. You were just kind of thrown out there. You were just kind of thrown out there without any parental guidance. Forced to fend for yourself at an early age. Some of you were forced to fend for yourself at an early age, forced to be on your own. You've been on your own so long that on your own is all you know. You've been on your own so long that on your own is all you know. You've had some near-death experiences, but God saw you there kicking, struggling, having a hard time, and he spoke life over you. And that's why you're still here today. He spoke life over you. And despite who wasn't there and what you didn't have, you grew up into adulthood. Nor was it easy, but you grew up into adulthood. Despite who wasn't there and what you didn't have, you grew up into adulthood. And when it was that time, and you needed someone to love on you, to help you through, someone to make you feel wanted, God was there. Even though it feels like you were existing on your own, God was there. The psalmist in Psalms 27, verse 10 from the Message Bible put it plain and simple. My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. God took me in. That's the bottom line. God took me in. God took you in. He took you in. God took you in. He spread the corner of his garment over you. He spread the corner of his garment over you, covering your nakedness, covering your vulnerability. He covered you, came into covenant with you, and you became his. Ezekiel 16, verse 8 says, God says, and you became mine. Hear me tonight, you are his. You survived the separation. You survived the system. You survived being without parents and siblings because God wanted you. You are wanted. You are his. You survived the separation. You survived the system. You survived being without parents and siblings because God wanted you. You are wanted. Moses survived going up the Nile River in a basket. He was a three-month-old baby going up the river, and he survived not because Pharaoh's daughter needed a son, but because God wanted Moses alive. Moses, as a baby, survived what he went through going up the Nile River in a basket, not because Pharaoh's daughter needed a son, but because God wanted Moses alive. Beloved, while you're crying at night over your biological mother, your biological father, over that person that chose not to keep you, instead they push you away, while you're crying, thinking you were not enough, while you're crying and thinking you were not enough, God says, tell you, they were not enough. God says, tell you, they were not enough. As much as Moses' mother loved him, as much as Moses' mother loved him, she knew she had to push him away. It's a hard thing when you love somebody, but you know that for their best interest and for their good, you have to push them away. As much as Moses' mother loved him, she knew she had to push him away to keep him safe. She knew she was not enough to keep him alive. She knew she had to push him away to keep him safe. She knew she was not enough to keep him alive. You see, Pharaoh in Exodus 1, verse 22, had given the order to all his people. He had given his order to all the people, all his people, that every Hebrew boy that is born, they must be thrown into the Nile, but let every girl live. Therefore, Pharaoh's daughter of all people was the perfect person to keep Moses alive and safe. Not that she loved Moses more than his biological mother. That wasn't the case. In the words of Tina Turner, what love got to do with it? If you go back and read in tonight's foundational text, Exodus 2, verse 5 through 6, NIV, it clearly lets us know that initially, when she first drew Moses out of the water, she felt sorry for him. And I don't know if it's just me, but the last time I checked, loving someone and feeling sorry for them were two totally different things. She probably grew to love Moses. Don't get me wrong, she probably grew to love Moses as her own. But initially, at first, she just felt sorry for him. But because she had influence over the enemy. Somebody say, because Pharaoh's daughter had influence over him. Because she had influence over the enemy, it was for the best that Moses became her son. At first it wasn't about love, it was about her having influence over the enemy. Somebody say, because Pharaoh's daughter had influence over him. Because she had influence over the enemy, it was for the best that Moses became her son. Now, she couldn't breastfeed him. She couldn't do that. No, 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 no. His biological mother, but she could keep him alive. That's the main thing. She could keep him alive. On the other hand, Moses' biological mother could breastfeed him, keep him full for a while. But what was in her wasn't enough to keep him alive long term. His biological mother could breastfeed him, keep him full for a while. But what was in her wasn't enough to keep him alive long term. It must be one of the worst feelings in the world as a mother to know what's in you is not enough to keep your child long term. Somebody under the sign of my voice, you don't know your biological mother because what was in her back then was not enough to keep you long term. Hear me and understand what I'm saying to you tonight. God wants me to tell you that somebody under the sign of my voice, you don't know your biological mother because what was in her back then was not enough to keep you long term. I don't know my biological father because what was in him back then was not enough to keep me long term. And God wanted me alive. Oh, yes, he did. He wanted me alive, just like he wanted you alive. Or you wouldn't be where you are right now. Or you wouldn't be here right now listening to me. There's leadership in you. Hear me, there's leadership in you. And oftentimes, when you're set to take the lead, you will experience both emotional and physical hardship. There is leadership in you, and oftentimes, when you're set to take the lead, you will experience both emotional and physical hardship. One of the biggest emotional hardships you will face when you're set to be a leader, set to take the lead, is, you guessed it, rejection, feeling rejected, the spirit of rejection. You feel so rejected, like no one wants you. But it's in that rejection that God is rerouting your course. God wants you. You feel so rejected, like no one wants you. But it's in that rejection that God is rerouting your course. God wants you. Of course, it happened to Moses in tonight's text, who will later go on in life to lead God's people to freedom. It happened with Joseph, rejected by his brothers, but who would go on later in life to become the prime minister, the governor of Egypt, leading a whole country. It happened with David, who felt rejected by his whole household, but who would go on later in life to become king, taking over Saul's position. And guess what, you all? Guess who else it happened to? I know you're saying me, me, me. I can testify and say me too. But guess who else it happened to? It happened to somebody very special to each and every one of us. If you're saved, this person is very special to you. And it happened to him too. That's right, it happened to Jesus. He was rejected by his own people, rejected by his own folks, before being put in a position to become our Savior, our bridgeway back to God, if we choose to accept him. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 from the NIV, the Bible puts it like this. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. He came to his own people, his own folk, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. God made Jesus' own people, his own folk, reject him. Because after Adam and Eve messed up, he needed him to be the Savior, to be the bridgeway for us back to him. God made Jesus' own people, his own folks, reject him. Because after Adam and Eve messed up, he needed him to be the Savior, the bridgeway for us back to him. There was nobody else that could do it. He needed Jesus to do it. So thankful that he needed Jesus to do it. So all that time, Jesus spent feeling rejected, like no one wanted him, attacked by the spirit of rejection. God wanted him and was using their rejection to reroute his course. God was using their rejection to reroute Jesus' course. Beloved, God wants you. You are wanted. God is using their rejection of you, how you feel, how you felt over the years, to rewrite your course. God is using their rejection of you, how you feel, how you felt over the years, to rewrite your course. They were not good enough. That's why he made them push you away. They were not good enough. That's why he made them push you away. He took them out of your life before they could take life out of you. He took them out of your life before they could take life out of you, before they could be an unhealthy influence on you, before they could be an unhealthy influence on you. Still others, like Moses' biological mother, you knew that you didn't have it in you. You knew that you didn't have it in you to do right by your child. Somebody, your mother knew that she didn't have it in her to do right by you, to keep you safe and provide for you. So she was forced, they were forced into giving you up. I know it doesn't lessen the pain. It doesn't lessen the pain, but I hope you're beginning to see. It doesn't lessen the pain. Don't get me wrong. I know it doesn't lessen the pain, but I hope you're beginning to see that all things work together for the good. It may not feel good, but it works together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Even when it hurts, it's working its way back together. Even when it hurts, it's working its way back together. Romans 8 and 28. You were never meant to stay broken. You were never meant to stay broken. Your heart in pieces. feeling like you feel. You all want it. Hear me, you all want it. God wants you. It's just the process by which he chooses to develop us is often painful. Don't ask me why, but it's just the process by which he chooses to develop us is often painful. In closing, remember and hold on to this. In closing, remember and hold on to this. If light comes into a dark room too soon, the picture that was being developed in the dark is ruined. If light comes into a dark room too soon, the picture that was being developed in the dark is ruined. It's a process. God doesn't want you ruined. He didn't want you ruined then, and he doesn't want you ruined now. He simply just wants you. No race or screens attached. You are wanted. When no one else understands your pain, you are wanted. If you can see it through God's eyes instead of your limited perception, you will see just how much God wants you. You are wanted. His plan was never to abandon you, but to give you a hope and a future in accordance with Jeremiah 29:11. Let's see tonight's message in prayer. Father God, help everybody under the sound of my voice feeling rejected, feeling lonely, like no one. Wrap your love all around them. Purge their minds of every thought holding them captive, unable to receive your truth. That no matter who doesn't or who didn't want them, you want them. And everything done was ultimately for their good, no matter what the enemy may have intended. Break the orphan spirit off of them. Break the orphan spirit off of them. Change their perspective to see that rerouting them was for the best. You kept them out of hurt, harm, and danger by rerouting them. Rerouting them was for the best. Thank you, Lord, for rerouting me. I appreciate it, Father. And everything that hurts now won't always hurt. And everything that hurts now won't always hurt. But there is healing and deliverance in your presence. So come in and fill every heart. Fill every heart tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody under the sound of my voice, whether you're listening live right now or perhaps you're listening later, whenever later is, if you need prayer, and I'm not live, if I'm not live and you need prayer, a Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text. I don't mind. Call or text 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. I would be honored, be glad to hear from you and to pray with you and to lead you in whatever direction the Lord tells me to say and to guide you. However, if you're on the phone lines right now, like right now, via Blog Talk Radio, and you have a specific prayer request unrelated to what we just talked about and prayed about, press 1 on your phone. All you have to do is press 1 on your phone. It's that simple. Press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you after these last few announcements. If you need this ministry's PayPal information or Cash App information, you can access the PayPal information by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire. The Cash App information is the $ and Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital, the F in Fire is capital, written all together with the $ in front. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page as well. And if you need to, you can DM me on Twitter or Instagram. That's fine. I'm here for you. That's what I do for God's glory. Join us. If you don't get your prayer request in tonight for whatever reason, you have a second opportunity on Friday night. This Friday night, join us on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate for prayer and encouragement. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. That's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, Friday night, by calling the number that many of you called tonight. Thank you so much. Again, for those of you that need it, the number is 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then, too, so call in. Then be sure to join me, yours truly, back here on For Living Fire, same night, time, and place, when the message will be, it's okay to be me. The message will be, it's okay to be me. And for those of you that don't know the ministry's vision statement, For Living Fire, seeking to help you where you hurt. That's what I seek to do by way of the Holy Spirit every week, is to help you when you hurt. To God be the glory. To God, most definitely, be the glory.
Before I get off the air tonight, I'm going to give it to you one more time. If there's anybody on the phone lines, Bill, Blog Talk Radio, in need of prayer tonight, it's so press 1 on your phone, and I would be glad to pray with you. While I'm waiting, let me make a correction. I would prefer that you read John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 in the New Living Translation. If you want to hear about how Jesus was rejected, read it in the New Living Translation. The NIV is good there too, but read it in the New Living Translation. With that being said, going once, going twice, going three times. Well, looks like there's no prayer requests for tonight, or you just being silent. Whatever the case, you have a second opportunity on Friday night. We'll see you then. God bless.